Hey everybody, how you doing? Welcome back to 15 Good Minutes. It's your guy, Coach B. As always, I'm with the A-Team. JR, how you doing today, man?
Awesome, man. I had a great day. Everything's good. All my managers are off tomorrow, so it's just me. So, you know, I just have an easy day. Everything will be good.
Oh, yeah.
Freddy, what's up, man?
Hey, man, I'm just trying to stay cool, man. I'm getting annoyed with this heat.
In Texas, for our audience members, happy belated birthday to Freddie. He and his wife share the same birthday, and that was earlier this week. Congrats, my man.
Thank you.
Just got a quick topic today that came straight off the wire. Since earlier this week, you know, the Fed announced that it raised interest rates again, right? Another quarter point up to 5.5% on consumer loans. So I figured I would, you know, throw this out there and see if you guys have any sense or thoughts on where, you know, where the economy's going with that, because interest rates have been climbing slowly and slowly and slowly. So I got a couple categories, the traditional loans, home loans, new car interest rates, and then credit cards. Have either of you been tracking I'll call it the upturn and what's going on with the interest rates in America?
I have. It's been going up for like the last year and a half or something like that.
Yeah.
The intent to me is to basically slow down borrowing and buying, right? But to me, I look at it from a standpoint, it's only really impactful to the middle and the lower class. So it's basically, to me, and I do not profess to be this financial whiz, but I think I'm savvy enough around it to where it's pretty much saying you have too many middle class and lower class people, you know, acquiring things that, you know, houses and whatever. And I think it's, you know, I don't think it's a good thing, because why wouldn't you want your people to, you know, own a home if they want to own it? Now, as long as you can afford the home, you know.
I think to that end, man, you know, and I'm nowhere near a financial wizard, but I do like to follow it. All the bad loans and stuff from 2005, 2006, there's still places that are reeling from that, man, you know. And so I say that to say, I don't think you can have it so that everybody can buy the same thing.
Right.
But, and to your point, I think my understanding of it too, correct me if I'm wrong here, JR, is that if they can slow down some types of spending, it levels out the economy. And then, because the job market isn't suffering, people are being hired, things of that nature. And this is where I have difficulty connecting the dots. I just, you know, of the last few days, especially since the Fed announcement this week, I've been kind of following the numbers. What do they say to you?
Well, I don't know exactly. It says that I'm paying more, you know, like for my house, because of the interest rate. It went up like the payment went up like 60, 70 bucks. It doesn't sound like a lot, but if you look at it, to me, if you look at it from that's at least two bills. That's a bill for me. That's a water bill. You know what I'm saying?
But so that means you have an adjustable mortgage then.
Well, I don't have an adjustable mortgage.
But how does it go up?
Don't ask me. We called up the company and they said, well, you know, the interest rates rose. And I thought, well, aren't you grandfathered into an interest rate?
You are. I mean, my interest rate hasn't rose at all, thankfully, because I'm not on an adjustable. As long as I don't refinance it, it stays at 2.9%.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
You know, now move into home loans now, it's like 30-year fix is almost 7.75%, right? So that, going back to Freddie's earlier point, to me, that's going to take a significant portion of the population out of the conversation of even thinking about buying a new house. Because in addition to this high interest rate, more times than not, you're going to have to put down a significant percentage.
But for some of the people, and it's their own fault, you know, I'm just saying, they have these people do what they call creative financing, and they get into these homes. Then they're stuck.
Are you talking about at the new interest rate, or are you talking about?
No, I'm talking about some people want what they want. You know what I'm saying? And if they can get it, they'll have somebody work it out for them. You know what I'm saying?
I think it's harder to qualify in 2023 than it was in 2005, though. you know, the people that I'm talking about is, you know, I don't know what an average couple is anymore, but an average couple making an average salary, decent credit score, you know, paying 7.75% over 30 years, plus putting 20% down, that alone would make them have to say, no, I can't do it right now. That's what I'm talking about. You have to have one hell of a savings account if you're young, 20-something-year-old trying to get into the housing market today, I think.
But I think I actually saw an article on Yahoo last week to where this mortgage lender or whatever, this guy, he was saying he was seeing people getting mortgages for $7,000, you know, a month or whatever. And what a lot of people are doing, even with these interest rates, there's because a lot of people, they don't really care about the interest rate. They look at the bottom line. Can I afford this monthly every month? Can I afford this? And then it's, well, yeah, damn, the interest rate is 7%. But then they bank on the ability of having the option to refinance when the rates get better, right? And I think that's what a lot of people bank on. To your point, when you say, I just want what I want, I'm going to buy it, whatever, okay.
Yeah, but you still have to prove to the bank that you can afford to do that,
right?
And you can say, I'm going to have a $7,000 mortgage, and they're going to want to see what percentage of your income is that. Mm-hmm. And people are being DQ'd a lot. Because they come in and say, oh, I'll do this, and in 2 years I will refinance. They say, yeah, but you can't get out the door. If that mortgage and the associated fees that Freddie's talking about, you know, besides the principal and interest, are going to consume more than 27% of your income, you will be denied.
Yeah.
You know, so whereas if the interest rate was 2.5% at this point, you might come in at a point where you can do that. Moving you up to 7.75, no matter how creative you get, you got to have a bank. And that's what was going on in 2005, 2006. The banks just like, oh, we can get as creative as you want to be. That ain't happening today, you know. So anybody who's paying that high of a mortgage based on a new home today, that means they got it like that. To Freddie's point, they got the capital, they got the money,
or they're buying points
because they're doing an ARM, type of adjustable thing because that bounces with the interest rate, and I think it's risky. But to your point, some people do that. You know, I haven't paid rent in I don't know how long. And so I totally lost sense of it. But I know a cousin of mine was telling me last year that his rent on a two bedroom was like, you know, $2,600.
Yeah.
That blew my mind. It blew my mind. You know, that's mortgage numbers right there.
Mortgage, yep.
But if you don't have the money to at least the seed money I'm talking about, Giardic, to go there, sit down at a bank, show some type of decent, you know, trajectory to get in, you know, that's you paying upwards of $3,000 to rent, man. I think it is, you know. And then if you look at, you know, like moving into vehicles now, right? A lot of new ones around 7%, used ones for whatever reason are commanding between 10% and 12%.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean,
hard to get used ones, really. I mean, good used cars. I don't know what it is, man. It's like people are foregoing the new cars to get a used car. I don't know what it is. It's in fact, before I had my transplant, I was looking for another third car because, you know, like you always say, it's always one car down. You know what I'm saying? So we'll get a third car. And, you know, the guy was telling me, he said, you know, it was selling for like, if the car was, let's say, blue book that $17,000, they were charging like $22,000 for the car. And I'm like, well, damn, man, the blue book's only this much. He said, yeah, but used cars are hard to come by. Good used cars or whatever.
It was SUV, that way during the pandemic, SUVs, for sure.
Mainly, yeah. So SUVs mainly.
I remember driving by during the pandemic, driving by the place that I go to get the truck serviced. I thought they were out of business.
Yeah,
the lot was empty. No, and I was like, oh man, I turned around, no fooling, and drove to Richmond to get the truck service. And they pull up your records and say, oh, you know, I'm gonna go to Purpose. Like, yeah, I don't know what happened. They said, nothing happened. I said, no, I drove by. It's a ghost town. They said they can't get new vehicles, but the service shop was open. I'm like, it looked abandoned, right? And so I think the chip shortage that we saw with, say, PlayStation 5 and televisions, it came all the way down to new vehicles, which made new vehicles go short, which made the price of used cars extremely valuable because people didn't want to wait 8-9 months for a new vehicle, you know. But to Freddie's point that he made at the top in terms of how people spend, I think the most significant area of impact is in retail, right? So now, for example, average credit card interest is 11%, which just seems ridiculous to me. Now, when I say average credit card, I'm talking about, you know, MasterCard and Visa.
Oh, Visa, yeah.
Retail and store credit cards, they're charging 19 to 24% mm-hmm. interest. I don't have any credit cards for manufacturers or for, you know, specific stores, but apparently those are the ones that the stores are making the money off.
I only have two credit cards, and my Navy Federal and my Amex. I pay Amex off every month anyway. So I'm
it's a requirement.
I'm not even going to carry over a balance on it, you know. So
the article that I was reading today, GR, from CNET Money was indicating that there is a target audience, I guess, you know. And I remember when I first came in the military, you know, a million years ago, I had this conversation with my dad because I called him up and I was stationed in Kansas. I said, "Hey, Dad, I found a car." You know, he said, "Okay, great." I said, "I need you to co-sign." He said, "Not so great. I'm not doing that for you." I'm like, "Well, whoa, wait a second." I said, I went and I said, "I got turned down because they said you don't have any credit." He said, "That's right." I said, "Well, how do you establish credit if you don't have no credit? How do I do this?" And he said, "Basically, you're going to have to find a used car, somebody that's willing to work with you, right?" And you know, and he was right. And that's where I learned. And at the same time, any credit card that I had, Freddie, was like a JCPenney or it was a store thing, right? And what I learned just this week when I was studying up on this is that retail and store-specific credit cards are geared for people who are trying to build credit. So that's why they can charge you a higher interest rate because they have what they call a less strict credit requirement, but they can charge you 25% interest. So the idea is that somebody like me is a young Aaron or whatever, I should have, you know, and I remember, you know, the limit on it. And that's the other thing, they have lower limits than your other credit cards. So I had a limit of only a couple hundred bucks, whatever it was, enough to get a suit, I remember, for a wedding that I had to go to. But I was paying that thing off, Freddie, for over a year, man. You know,
you were high risk.
I'm 18 year old. I work for Uncle Sam. Where am I gonna go?
You high risk, man. You high risk.
I remember.
I think nobody tells us though when we're young, you know, that if you want to, you know, get this credit card, okay, so you got a store credit card. Make a payment. If you can pay it off, let's say we get paid twice a month. If you can give them a little bit, just get it paid off within the 30 days. That builds you, you know.
How many people do that?
My parents never told me about that.
Yeah, I wasn't taught it either. I think the thing that surprised me the most when I was looking this up is the number of people now in our age group who still are in that bucket. They still have retail and they may be paying them off. But the problem is they're paying that store. Let's say, I don't even know if pennies exist anymore, but let's say they did. And you bought an item in there, you know, for $700, you're going to pay 25% on it with using their card. You go to Freddie's point, you take that Navy Federal card, an Amex card. The Amex card for me, I mean, there's no interest because I pay it all off. It's whatever the cost is. So where they make their money is they're banking on the fact that you don't pay that puppy off within 30 mm-hmm. days. They get to put the 20-something percent on and do it next month. And then next thing you know, that becomes your go-to store because you don't have the capital to go anywhere else. You understand? Mm-hmm. And then you end up tied to this whole, and I hate to pick on JCPenney's again. I don't, no harm, no foul. If Penny's still out there, I'm not picking on you guys, but the retail example is one that people get stuck in. And now that going all the way back to what we said at the top, the Fed raises their interest rates. That's going to trickle all the way down, right, to the credit cards, even the ones that Freddie's talking about, you know, Navy Federal, you know, their Visa is going to be just as high as anybody else's, but it's a Visa. You take that same thing. If they got to up their rates, you better believe that, you know, the retail stores are going to do the same. So be mindful of your money. Be mindful of the interest rates. Be mindful of what you guys are paying. We want everybody to do well and be prosperous out there. And don't give that money away in interest that you could be keeping in your pocket. Before we roll out, JR, you got anything to say today, buddy?
Just to piggyback up what you said is, there's nothing wrong with waiting if you don't have it, because it's only positive. Save what you were going to spend. Just keep saving it.
Freddie, how about you, buddy? Got anything to say today?
Two things. Prayers to Bronny James and his his little incident that he had yesterday. He had a cardiac arrest while at practice. You know, I hope he's well, and I hope, you know, whatever caused this event, I hope that, you know, Bronny, LeBron, and Savannah, they get with the cardiologist and kind of pinpoint it. It's not worth risking your life for. Second, you know, I don't know if anyone saw this, but earlier today, Mitch McConnell kind of like seized up while giving, you know, a speech or whatever, you know, money-making Mitch. It's time to go home. You know, you and your wife, you're worth, what, $80, $90 million? It's time to go home. You got more years behind you than you do in front of you. You don't need the power no more. Go and live your life, you know, and enjoy your family, your grandkids, whatever the case may be. I mean, this thing is serious, man.
Yeah. And I think you could spread that across in both those instances. You have an extremely young person, an older person. Life is fragile, folks. I mean, I'm not telling you nothing you don't already know. Hopefully, Mr. McConnell and young Mr. James will both be fine by the next time we do our broadcast. That's all we got time for, folks. We hope you having a great week and an even greater weekend. We will see you guys next week.
All right, now.